and welcome to another episode of the Will This Be On The Test podcast, the podcast with the answers to your questions for college and career success.
We are your hosts. I am Betsy Olinger.
And I am Dr. Elizabeth Manet. Today's episode is about the art of giving feedback, why you would give feedback, some situations that might prevent you from giving feedback, and how to receive feedback when you are in a position of power. This episode will also give you a tool to think through for when you find yourself in a position to give feedback.
When I was a kid playing in a pool, one of my favorite games was to play Marco Polo. The person who is it is says Marco, and all the other swimmers in the pool say Polo, and the person swimming has their eyes closed and goes and tries to catch them. When I was a kid, I had really good friends. We played this over and over, but at one point I was Marco and my friends played a trick on me. They didn't respond. So I'm swimming. Marco, nothing. Marco, nothing. I don't open my eyes. I just keep swimming until boom, I hit the side of the pool and chip my teeth.
Rude.
Well, not rude. You know what? It was playing, and it was...
It's all fun and games until somebody chips a tooth.
A permanent tooth, too.
A permanent tooth.
It's kind of bad when, you know, when your teeth stick out that far, and I could have eaten corn through a fence, but I... No, orthodontia is a good thing. So, the important thing about Marco Polo is it gives you the opportunity to see this is what feedback is, and this is why it's important.
And that's also an opportunity to figure out a necessary time for feedback. So, Betsy, what are some other situations or scenarios where feedback is necessary?
So, there are several scenarios or situations that you are in every day when feedback is actually necessary. Some of these you might prepare for in advance because they're formal feedback. For instance, if you have a summer internship or a job, you might have a yearly performance appraisal that everybody in the company goes through. And it's important to say, hey, this is what's going well, this is not, here are some opportunities for growth, here is what I want you to continue doing, here's what I want you to stop doing. And those are important and critical. And frankly, an annual review isn't quite enough, because what if you've been going the wrong way, think Marco and keep swimming, for 10 months, and you only find out 10 months later that was the wrong direction to go. So there's formal feedback. That also can be in the form of grades, scores, and evaluations. Those of you who are in school, a professor or a teacher might give you a grade. You see how you've done on a test, and that gives you an idea of whether or not you've mastered the material. So those are some examples of formal feedback. Those you know are going to happen, you can prepare for, and that way you can prepare to give the feedback if that's your role, or prepare to receive the feedback if that's your role. There's other kinds of feedback though that happen every day, and that is spur of the moment feedback. Can be anytime, not scheduled in advance, when you need to say something to someone else to change a behavior or to encourage a behavior. For instance, I came home from lunch yesterday around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, had lunch at noon, and I noticed I had lettuce in my teeth. I must have had this lettuce in my teeth for close to 4 hours. Nobody bothered to say, hey, by the way, check your teeth. Go look. And that is, would be spur of the moment, I would hope. But it didn't happen, and it made me feel uncomfortable. So
nobody needed to schedule a formal sit-down with you about this lettuce.
Exactly. And anytime you're dealing with other people, that is an opportunity for feedback. Because even if it's not verbal, if it's not written, just by connecting with people, you can look in people's eyes. They shake their head yes when they're in agreement. They shake their head no if they're not necessarily in agreement with you. But you can get that feedback, and we thrive on feedback. One of the exercises I like to do in my class is talking to people eye to eye about something you love, and then having the other person not give you any verbal feedback, but simply not give you any eye connection. And it's amazing to see how hard it is for someone even to talk when they're getting the feedback from someone else that they're not really listening or paying attention. So really, the whole thing about feedback is anytime you're dealing with other people, there's an opportunity for feedback.
Before we get into what might prevent you from giving feedback, we also want to give this nod to be cautious about some of the feedback that you may encounter when dealing with other people. Feedback has been a running theme through a couple of episodes that we've done. Dana from Alabama wrote in from our professor episode, and she wrote this comment. Exercise caution when using websites like Rate My Professor to select instructors. Keep in mind that there are usually two types of people who give feedback, those who love the instructor and those who hate the instructor. You won't see a lot of middle-of-the-road comments. I think what Dana is describing here with regard to feedback is understanding that context also has to be considered when giving and receiving some feedback. All right, we've talked a little bit about necessary feedback, but why might a person be prevented from giving feedback?
Well, one, sometimes it's risky. You don't want to be thinking you're looking in the wrong place or getting into someone else's business. For instance, if someone's fly is down, it's risky. Why are you looking there? What is the issue? But also, it can be simply uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for you when someone is exhibiting social behaviors that are not the norm. But by pointing it out to someone, you are essentially calling them out. And we'll talk about ways of doing this in a bit. Frankly, it can be acrimonious. It puts you at odds. If you're just trying to maintain the relationship and go with the flow, it's stopping what's going on and making a change and interrupting the flow of conversation or whatever's happening. And some people are not willing to do it.
I think this is along the same lines. I think it's important to recognize that feedback is not necessary when you haven't been asked to give that feedback. I have an example of a dinner party that I hosted recently. William, my husband, and I had worked for 2 days putting together this extensive menu. There was a formal dinner party. There was table settings. And we had multiple courses, and on the last course, we served a cake with chocolate sauce on the top of the cake. And I put the cake down, I sliced up a bunch of pieces, I handed them to the diners, and one of the diners said, "You know, this cake would be, I think, better if it had pomegranate glaze on the top of it." And it was just kind of like, "Huh, thanks so much for your opinion on that. Why don't you make a pomegranate glaze when you invite me to your house for a formal dinner?" And we all kind of laughed about it. And we actually said to the diner, "You know, that is definitely kind of feedback that maybe doesn't need to happen." And that would kind of be an instance where maybe you might just not give that particular little note of improvement.
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did the person, I'm just going to call this person the person, did the person say it before they had even tried the cake?
I think they were eating it and was like, "Oh, you know, this is really good, but I think it would have been better if it had pomegranate glaze on the top."
Ouch.
Like, well, already then. Mm. You let me know next time you make your cake and bring it here for dinner.
Oh.
I mean, it was funny. It was really funny. This was friends. This was a social event. But we just laughed at the exchange itself. Like, really? Are you really saying this right here after 7 courses of food? So it's just like, you know, just a nod there. Maybe refrain. Just eat your freaking cake and move on.
Or say it in your head. You
say
know,
it in your
this
head.
Might be good. Right.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's also important to recognize that people might be prevented from giving you feedback if there is a power distance. And we can recognize this very clearly in professional workplace situations. I think this segues nicely into the thought of how to receive feedback. And so we could even start with the idea of that classic children's story, the Emperor's New Clothes, about how this emperor was swindled into wearing essentially nothing. And the entire kingdom was too nervous to say to this emperor, "Hey, you're kind of naked right now." And so he paraded through the streets in just his underwear because nobody gave him that feedback. Again, it's the Marco Polo of the naked children's story. So what do we do about this, right? What do we do when you're in this situation of having that power? How do you solicit feedback that's helpful? So Fernando Bartolome wrote an article called "Nobody Trusts the Boss, Now What?" in Harvard Business Review. And this article is about how to solicit feedback when you're in a leadership position and also recognize why people are not quick to give that feedback. So we understand that risky component. If your job is on the line, you might be hesitant to say something that could be conceived as a criticism to your boss. It's also uncomfortable, right? If you're a person who doesn't have that power to say, I think there might be a better way of doing it. Here's my expertise to back that up. So, three suggestions from Bartolome when you're in the position of power. Number one, solicit anonymous feedback. Put a box, a suggestion box, a bulletin board where people can post their thoughts anonymously, because it takes the pressure off of a person to be connected to honest feedback, right? I actually do this in my class. Halfway through the semester, I will give index cards to the students and I will ask them to write down a start, stop, and continue. What should we start doing in class? What should we stop doing in class? And what do they like that we should continue doing? They do not write their name on it, and I am given very specific feedback that I could then incorporate. The second suggestion from Bartolome is to consult trusted sources. When you're in a position of power, you can identify high performers. High performers are going to have more sense of security, and they're going to be more likely to give you feedback when asked. This brings us to the third suggestion from Bartolome. Only if you have a thick skin should you solicit that feedback. If you are not prepared to hear potential critique of your methods, you shouldn't ask for it, because it's going to produce adverse effects. So, anonymous feedback, trusted sources, and only if you can accept that feedback, if you could receive that feedback. So, all right, this brings us to sort of a tangible takeaway here. This idea of what kind of feedback could be helpful. This question was solicited again from Dana from Alabama. She asked, what kind of feedback is helpful on professor evaluations? And we thought we could expand this idea about feedback into multiple situations.
And again, this applies not just to professor evaluations, but anytime you're giving an evaluation and you have time ahead of time to take this acronym and make it yours. The acronym is THINK. 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 The T is timely. I was in an airport fairly recently, and a woman who I think was on my plane was walking ahead of me down the concourse, and she had her skirt neatly tucked into the top of her tights.
That is mortifying.
It's mortifying. It's not good. It's not a good look on anyone, and no one would choose to do it. It's not a fashion statement. It's a, this just happens, right? So I decided, I walked up to the woman, and she was older than I am, and I said, excuse me, I just wanted to let you know your skirt is tucked into your tights. And she was mortified, and I could see that, but she thanked me. She immediately went into the bathroom, fixed the wardrobe malfunction, and she was appreciative. And it's something that it needs to be done. So is it timely? It would not have helped to tell this woman 3 days later, oh, by the way, when you were at the airport that day, oh yeah, your skirt was stuck in your tights. Not appropriate. So timely. It needs to be done at the right time.
The H is for helpful. Does this feedback add to the person's experience? And I think you could think about it from the perspective of that context that we were talking about. Say you're walking into a party with a friend, and just as you're about to open the door, the friend says, does my dress look okay? At that point, it is just helpful if you say, you look very lovely, rather than saying to them, that dress is not my favorite. I like your red dress better. it does not help that person to know that you have maybe a negative opinion about their attire, right? So it's just, it's kind of thinking through, if they look fine and they look appropriate, just say, you look fine. You look lovely. I think this is also kind of like the difference, right, Betsy, between the timely. If somebody has lipstick on their teeth and you say to them, oh, you have a little bit of lipstick on your teeth, that is completely different than saying to somebody, have you considered whitening? Your teeth are yellow. I mean, really, what good is that going to do as you are about to walk into this party? So is it timely and is it helpful?
And the thing to add about helpful is, what does the person have? What can they do to affect it? And frankly, if they ask you a question and they have no ability to change the circumstance, then you need to make sure everything is at least fine and move on.
So the I in think is inspiring. And I just have to return back to that pomegranate glaze on the cake. I had just hosted this huge sort of 7-course dinner. This was the last course. And I just felt that that feedback wasn't necessarily inspiring. It kind of added a little bit of a Debbie Downer feel, like, womp womp, your cake sucks. But I don't think that was the intention of his comment. I think it was more just like, he wasn't really thinking about what his comment would do. So again, think, right? THI, inspiring, think.
Right, and sometimes, again, this was a social situation and you had hosted this incredible dinner and worked incredibly hard and you have this fabulous business, but if you didn't, you could be a caterer because your food is delicious. But the fact that this hurt your feelings hurts my heart a bit. But
I mean, it wasn't like my feelings were hurt. It was more like it was funny. Like,
it is, but still, days
later. What is wrong with you?
Days later, we're talking about it.
We're chatting about it. Okay, so maybe I was a little hurt.
But also, when sometimes just to go into this, one of the things we need to consider is, especially when it's a social situation and it involves food, we have to remember that it's what you did as a 2-year-old is probably not appropriate for you, whatever stage of life that you're in now, and dinner parties really highlight that. I have seen so many people who eat like a 2-year-old and they're not, and chewing with their mouth open and the whole haha seafood, just gross. We don't do that. And so manners factor into this and expectations factor into this as well. So I just wanted to add that because that goes with food.
Sure.
But also the inspiring thing, we have to talk about public and private talking to people. How I have always thought that it's best to give feedback. If it's positive, give it publicly. By the way, Elizabeth Monet, you are a fabulous chef. And if it's something that's negative, by the way, your skirt is tucked into your tights, then that is private or something that could be embarrassing. But there are some people who really don't want to have the whole public lauding all about my business out loud. They do want the recognition and you do want to encourage them and give them the feedback, but they are not the people who really thrive on it being loud and in public and with an award and all that. And I think it's important to realize, how does someone prefer to receive their feedback?
Fair. I think from a necessary, which is the N in our think, necessary, how is the circumstance going to influence the feedback? I think it's really important to consider before giving feedback, do I need to tell you this kind of information? Is it worth correcting a person if you are never going to meet them again? I think also the necessary, is this necessary information, is this going to change your life? If we're friends, if we're close, is this going to be hurtful or is this necessary?
True. And there is a big difference between you needing to hear something and me needing to say something.
I think that's really important. I think that is, it's worth kind of looking internally and asking yourself, am I giving this feedback to satisfy some kind of
need
within myself? Yeah, I think that's important, right? Am I giving this because I need to feel wanted? I need to feel needed? I need to feel like I have all the answers?
Right. But I think that's important. And many times those filters kind of fall off and we don't stop and think about these things. So again, there's a big difference between you needing to hear something and needing to say mm-hmm. something, and that's where the discussion in your head can happen.
Absolutely. All right, and then lastly, the K, is your feedback kind? And again, I think this just throws back to common kindness, right? We want to make sure that people are seeing the humanity in you. Next week, our episode is about turning your passion into your career. We're going to be talking about pie, neither chocolate nor pomegranate pie. Stay tuned for that episode. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, most major platforms where podcasts are hosted. To make sure that you're prepared for your next test, visit our website at WTBOTTpodcast.com for links and notes mentioned during the show. We love hearing from listeners, so please leave us a question or a comment or a topic that you'd like to hear more about during the show. Please make sure that you subscribe, like, rate, review, and share so that you don't miss anything. We have to thank Joseph McDade Music for this awesome soundtrack. Thanks, Joseph. We release new episodes every Monday, so follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram specifically, to see what next week's episode contains. Thanks for listening.